Communication is key, and like you shouldn't have to be the bottleneck in these situations. Like if you're off, you can have a form that communicates to the realtor that you got it, communicates with the client that you got it. Might seem silly when we say it, but I bet you if we took a poll of our listeners or brokers or agents in general, a lot of them don't have these things. They just get referrals via email or text message. And
I think a lot of people get texts.
Those are the worst when you're on holidays, especially the texts. Like it's hard not to look at those.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Mortgage Tech Talks. I am your host, Tom. With me, of course, is Massimo. Oh, no, I was going to say it's the first time it's just the two of us in a while, but we did one last week. We did one quickly while I was on my pad leave, but now I'm back fully. This is my second day fully back, and it feels good to do the podcast. I mean, the show had to go on last week, so we got it in. But this week, back to normal, so it feels good. Good to be back. I'm only waking up 1 to 2 times a night right now with the kids, so I'm feeling pretty good. Is that good? I don't know the stand. I don't have a lot of friends who have kids, so.
Wrong guy to ask. Yeah, to your point, yeah. I don't know, but from what I've heard of friends and family, that is quite good, especially early on. Like, maybe people are just being dramatic, but they typically make it sound like, well, every 2 hours. And if night is 8 hours, then that's 4 or 5 times, right? So,
yeah, we've talked about this, but it's hard for me to nail down what people are truly experiencing because some people are kind of masking it, say, hey, I know everything's good, even though it's not good. Other people, it's almost like a badge of honor and be like, oh, yeah, we're getting no sleep, hearty, har, har. And so some people like to exaggerate that way. So, I don't know the truth of it, but we're doing good with it. So, that's good. And yeah, like I said, good to be back. And, you know, I think this time off that I had is inspiring this episode, and you're about to take some time off. I think you've mentioned to the audience a couple times how your face is going to look. Is this going to be the last one we have?
With this face, yeah.
Wow.
It's not going to change take that much, at least I hope. But yeah, it will change. So yeah, take it in, take notes or photos, whatever.
Soak it up. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
between the two, yeah. So Mass, you're taking time off. I just took some time off. And so following that theme, we're going to talk about today how as a mortgage broker, so we obviously in our role, it's not exactly the same, but there's some parallels, but more so working with our clients when we've seen people trying to take some time off. Well, we do have some clients, like I know one person who lives in the Philippines, that's not quite taking time off, but working remote. I know people who took like a month off in the Bahamas, just kind of going through how you can manage that. It's not going to be perfect, right? And obviously, there's things that you do on a day-to-day basis as a broker that's going to fall a little bit as you take time off. But I think the goal of this episode is to talk through some of the best practices we've seen. So you're not getting pulled away on your phone, right? Trying to sit on the beach, drink a Mai Tai or daiquiri, whatever drink is your drink, you know, your phone's just buzzing and you can't leave it. And you end up spending the whole vacation in your hotel room, which I know for a fact, that's a real experience for many brokers and probably for a lot of people listening is getting pulled away because, yeah, the reality is you're kind of a solopreneur for a lot of people. You know, the buck stops with you. And so if you take time off, that means things will slow down. So we want to talk about, okay, how can you, you know, without doubling or tripling your team and doing all these very expensive things, what are some quick wins to really get your time back, especially as it relates to vacation and time with your family? So you kind of see the same thing when you talk to people, Mass, in terms of getting pulled away and their phones and different things like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I can think of a handful of brokers that have done like extended like 3-4 months. I think as we've mentioned in the pod, I'm dealing with more advisors and I'm seeing a couple of them too. But I mean, in short, we've all been there. I know, Tom, you probably have. I have, where it's like you're constantly in your inbox. As Tom mentioned, we're not perfect, but we've come up with a lot of ways. And I think we're like 10 times better than we were 3 years ago. So, and I think a lot of brokers are at that point where they haven't even tried any of this stuff. So I'm excited for this. But in general, it's also hard mentally when you're so invested in the business to turn off. And so,
yeah, I think that's a good point too, right? Yeah. It's like some people don't want to turn off. And I don't think that's what we're recommending necessarily. Hey, you got to turn off, you got to put your phone away, you got to do that. But I think it's about setting expectations for yourself, your family, if you're going on vacation with your family, with your clients. It's not going to be exactly the same as it was when you're just sitting at your desk all day. So you can still answer those emails. And if you enjoy that and it works for your family or whoever you're with, do that. But I think the tips we want to share is just, okay, how do you manage that a little bit better? What are some things you can get in place? So yeah, you can still answer those emails if that's, you know, something that you're mentally prepared and wanting to do, but just being able to manage that a little bit better. So let's get right into it. The first one, you actually said you were talking to a client just last week about this. one of our favorites. You had the episode with Steven 2 weeks ago, and then I don't know, I guess you guys got to talk and this came up.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's obviously very relevant and something that I know has come into play. When I took some time off, we collected a lot of our leads this way. So it's a method that we do ourselves. And what that is online forms. So it sounds simple, maybe a little bit. And what I mean by online forms is like a Google form. Everyone's filled out one of those in the past. But getting those set up and then in a way integrated into your process so that the whole really kind of first few steps of that lead process are somewhat automated, right? It doesn't have to be completely automated. You know, some people want to have control over that, but you know, really basics. And so what I would say is like the table stakes in terms of that basics would be someone fills out the form. So let's say, I don't know, but it's typically your realtor. This is a form you could share with your realtor or past clients, maybe put on your website. That information gets sent to you and then probably an automated response, at least to the realtor or the person who filled out the form saying, thanks for submitting it. And here's the first step of the process. That's pretty low risk, pretty low stakes. It can at the very least keep your pipeline moving while you're gone. So you don't have to feel that obligation to, oh, I got a referral. I got to quickly respond and make sure that they know they're getting the best service. You have that a little bit on autopilot, and that's going to make you not chained to these referrals, but allow you to dictate your schedule a little bit more.
Yeah. And I mean, for those of you that listen to the Steven podcast, communication is key. And like, you shouldn't have to be the bottleneck in these situations. Like if you're off, you can have a form that communicates to the realtor that you got it, communicates with the client that you got it.
Right.
Might seem silly when we say it, but I bet you if we took a poll of our listeners or brokers or agents in general, a lot of them don't have these things. They just get referrals via email or text message. And
I think a lot of people get texts.
Those are the worst when you're on holidays, especially the texts. Yeah. Like it's hard not to look at those.
So yeah, and you look at it and okay, yeah, I got this text. And for me at least, and I think for a lot of people who work with, yeah, like you said, you can't turn that off.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm supposed to be, I don't know, watching a limbo contest, but all I'm thinking about is that text I got, right? And so if you can train your realtors, and they'll probably prefer it to the realtors instead of sending that text and be like, oh, I know Tom's on vacation. Do I text him? But I really need this. They know they can go to that form, get it, and at least get the ball rolling. That's going to give them the confidence. And at the very least, make sure, okay, if they don't want to bug you on vacation, they know you're on vacation, that they don't go to someone else, a competitor, maybe a bank or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, risk them going there a little bit more permanently. You can keep that relationship alive and well and thriving, given the first few steps. And like we said earlier, if you automate those first few steps, that's maybe as far as you need to go. And then maybe you get back to the hotel room that night and you can call the client or you can call the realtor and say, hey, I'm on it. You can still have that personal touch that you like, but you're just setting up these forms and these processes. So you're, like you said, not being the bottleneck.
Yeah, totally. One thing just came into my head for any iPhone users. I've been tinkering with this because I am one. They have this new thing called workflows in the iPhone software, and you can actually set up workflows to auto respond via text when certain texts come in from certain people or when you hit certain locations and stuff. So if anyone's interested in that stuff, people are blasting your phone, you can set up some automations, or they call it workflows.
How does it work? Like, how sophisticated is it? Could you respond or can you do other actions? Like, hey, take the body of the text and put it into a note or?
No, not that sophisticated. Okay. Yeah. No, but you can respond. And then there were all kinds of other things actually in it.
I'm on like some old version. I'm on like iOS 5 or something like that. So I don't think I have it.
Yeah, you might not have it. I don't know.
No, it's interesting. And I think as you're pulling that up, you know, that can piggyback, right? From what we're saying to say, okay, hey, someone texted me, they don't know you're on vacation. You could set up that workflow that immediately responds, hey, I'm on the beach or whatever right now. I'm still checking my phone. If you want the ball rolling, you want to get the process started, fill out this form. It's going to get you off on the right foot, right? These things aren't mutually exclusive. Just because you do one thing doesn't mean you have to not do something else. You know, they can actually work together pretty well.
Yeah. So it's not as sophisticated as what you're saying, but it can use your location. So when you arrive like at the gym or home or whatever, it can auto send responses to people when they text you, or it can put your phone in do not disturb. If certain people text you or email you, it can send a response. So it's pretty cool. It's actually called automations, not workflows.
Okay.
So check it out. But yeah, the next one that I think is relevant for brokers, and I think a lot of them do it now just because of COVID kind of forced them. I think we had a podcast on this too, but if you're not, you should. Doc collection. So automating that, like allowing someone to upload into a portal, upload them in certain spots, like T4 goes here, this goes there. When you get to that stage in a deal, that means it's probably going to move forward and you're actually collecting some stuff. And so you definitely don't want it to stall in your inbox for 2 weeks. And we'll talk about inbox strategies and stuff later. But that's another easy one. And pretty much all the LOSs do it now. Scarlet, Velocity, Finmo.
Yeah, we had that episode where we talk about each of them doing it. And
yeah,
yeah, I think it comes back to the bottleneck. I think, you know, a general principle we have, vacation or not, is if there's going to be a step in the process in which another party, so the realtor or the client or whoever is going to be the bottleneck, get to that point as quickly as possible. Because, you know, in the scenario, you're the bottleneck up front because you're, let's say, on vacation, and then you take a week and you get back and you say, okay, well, now I need to collect docs, and then it's going to take a week or two to get their docs. You've just stacked up these bottlenecks together, right? And now what could be much quicker is taking many weeks. So instead, if you can get, and maybe it's a form or maybe however you get there, that client to the point where they're actually gathering their documents, which is usually the longest step for them, it's going to save you a lot of time. And now the client and the realtor aren't bugging you because that's in the client's boat. They're doing their thing. They're collecting their docs. You can enjoy your Mai Tai. I've brought that up a couple of times, the Mai Tai. So
I'm more a piña guy, personally. Coconut for the win.
Oh, yeah, with like a long straw or something.
Yeah.
Have you ever had the fresh coconut where they chop it off with a machete and you just...
When I was in Costa Rica at the hotel we were at, we actually got that every morning. And it's funny. Like, I was drinking it. I'm like, this is different than the coconut juice or whatever, or water.
It's better than the Buddha.
Yeah. Way better.
Quiet Buddha, what's it called? Or I don't...
Yeah, Thirsty Buddha, I think.
Thirsty Buddha, okay, yeah.
But it's definitely better. So I don't know what coconuts they're using for Thirsty Buddha. Probably not the greatest. But anyways, yes, I have tried it.
Yeah, so you can get the client to the bottleneck. Now, you don't feel as guilty to be on the beach, and things are moving still, right? Those things that do take time, the deal is moving along. It's just in the client's boat. So yeah, that's absolutely a huge one. But I think there's also reality with this. So I think with those two, you know, automate where you can on the lead side, on the document side, that does make a lot of sense. But I think we're definitely not at the point, I don't think we will be for a very long time, we're going to be fully automated, right? So to the point where it's like, okay, we still have to have those interactions. You still have to write the deal. You still have to maybe answer some questions, exchange some emails. That's always going to be a reality, right? So let's talk about email first, because I know a lot of the brokers we work with still live and breathe, like their email inbox is their lifeblood, is their entire deal pipeline, which is fine if it works for them. Talk about that, right? Like, you know, what kind of have you seen the best practices? Do you just kind of like leave it and then it's this crazy stressful thing when you get back? Do you kind of check it every day? Are there any kind of, I guess, cool tech in the theme of the podcast, of course, tech tips you've seen people doing to manage their inbox better? What have you seen?
Well, I mean, one thing I'm playing with, and I mean, this is a simple one, a vacation responder, have that on when you're gone so people know you're gone. That's not really cool tech. But what I'm starting to do is actually turn it on before I go, letting people know I have one coming up. I think it was Dave from DLC that told us he does that a couple of years ago. And so I started doing it. And I mean, it causes a little bit of people freaking out and booking time with you before you go. But then I think it reduces the pain while you're gone. Or it helps. So that's another thing, just turning it like a vacation upcoming alert and then when you're gone. But I mean, one of the things that people should look at, and I'm pretty sure all email providers do it, is having some way of having a shared inbox. So you're not the only one who can access it. A lot of you have teammates or colleagues that could at least fill in for you. And there's always high priority stuff that comes in. And so there's some risk to that. Maybe you can talk to that, but we actually have it in a more advanced format. We actually use a desk software or a ticketing software.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of benefits of that. But at the very least, have a shared inbox. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I kind of escalate it in terms of, you know, different things. So you can do the most basic, which is literally like, hey, to your assistant or whoever's maybe filling in, here's my login. Just go into my inbox and start playing around.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And that obviously comes with, I think, risk that speaks for itself. So, but it's also the easiest.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have to do anything. Just, hey, here's my login. Go have fun. Next level would be something similar to what you're describing, where some of these email providers actually have tools where it's like, hey, I want to share my inbox. I want to be able to do that.
Like delegation.
Yeah, I think delegation. Yeah. I mean, we use Zoho Mail, of course, and we've had the ability to, okay, this colleague can actually access my inbox, but all they can do is reply to emails. They can't create a brand new one or something like that. So that gives you the next layer of privacy. Still not great because they can maybe see everything. And then the third level would be using maybe a CRM or, like you said, a desk tool, which aggregates all those emails that you have and puts it in a spot. And, you know, the benefit for that is yes, everything's in one spot, but you also get that level of clarity of who's doing what now, right? And so I haven't seen a ton of brokers doing this, and I think it should be used more than it is. But just to quickly describe it, you know, you get in there and you have your assistant and they can see that email and leave a comment and say, what do you think? And then they respond and then you respond. On your end, you can see that full transaction, that full history. Whereas on the client's end, it's just like they're having a conversation with you. So with those three levels come, you know, probably increasing work, but decreasing risk, right? And so it's just about finding that balance for you and what makes the most sense. But it's a matter of doing something for sure. And I think for us, of course, we see a lot of people doing it with the CRM too, where all the emails can sync up to the client's profile. Your assistant can log and see all activities and then maybe leave some notes. Hey, Tom, you know, I know you're on vacation, but can you just chime in on this one thing? And so it's not that you open up your inbox and it's this massive hurricane.
Yeah.
It's targeted, right? Your assistant or whoever might be helping you at that time can say, okay, there's 100 emails that came in. Here are the five that you need to look at, right? That makes things a lot more manageable.
Yeah. And I mean, we probably moved to a desk, at least for our sales, what, 2 years ago now or 1 year ago?
Yes, not two.
Yeah, two. And it really changed things in terms of our response time because now we have three people looking at it. We all kind of piggyback on each other. So we're always like helping each other like we're out of office per se.
Yeah.
During the day, every day, like anyone can answer the email as long as they know what to answer. So it's a great way. And there's all kinds of automations and reporting and all kinds of stuff you can do if you want in these desk tools.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they have like info at or sales at or support at or underwriting at, that's when you should kind of put it in there when it's less personalized already in terms of the
right.
URL or the email address.
And that's what a lot of people do, right? They have an info at or a sales at, but it's just everyone's in Gmail.
Yeah.
Right. So if you take that extra step and get into one of these tools, you know, just you have all those added benefits that we talked about, whether it is just an info ad in Gmail or one of these desk softwares. If you can implement it for your vacation or just on a regular day-to-day,
yeah,
it at least lets you get those reps in to say, okay, actually, when my assistant responds to the client, it's actually not so bad, right? Some people have that control. And I know actually I'm a lot like that where, oh no, I got to have the first email or I have to send the email. There's a very specific way I ask for docs. But you learn pretty quickly that someone who can help you can get you 80, 90% of the way there pretty quickly. And so if you're okay with losing that last 10%, which I think you should be, most people should be, you can save so much time and a lot of productivity with that.
Totally. I think we had one more we were chatting about before the pod is having someone like a trusted colleague to work on this stuff. Like obviously this industry has licensing, like not everyone can answer a mortgage email and they can't give rates and all of that. So, I mean, this is an innovative tech solution, but that is something to think about. And not enough people do where it just kind of sits in this shared inbox or whatever. And you may not have someone that can actually answer the email with relevant information to what the client's asking. And I know some brokerages are trying to solve that.
Like a deal desk, right? We had a deal desk episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's right. It's like, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about is more like transactional intro email, answering quick questions. That's something an assistant could do.
Right.
Okay. I'll just come in and do that. But there's also the part of it that's actually writing the deal. And I think if anything, you know, we talk about, okay, maybe you enjoy that work or maybe you're okay with putting in an hour after the beach and, you know, getting it in. If anything, I'd say prioritize this part of it because that is truly the part where as a mortgage broker, you're providing a ton of value and that requires a license, right? Of course, to do these very specialized underwriting activities. And so, yeah, you can prioritize it there. But like you said, a lot of people do end up saying, okay, well, no, I'm actually fully off. I'm climbing the mountain. My phone's not even going to be on. How do I keep these things moving? And yeah, we've seen kind of these two things. Hey, my best buddy, they're just going to log into my inbox and I'm going to co-broker the deal with them and it's going to be great. Or yeah, like you're saying, these bigger brokerages more setting up these deal desks where you can kind of just send it in, say, hey, this is whoever. Can you help me? Can you help write this deal? And they have these kind of centralized hubs. They take a bigger cut for it, of course, but you have that confidence that it's going to kind of see its way through. And it's someone who's licensed to do it is going to do it right. Because of course, the brokerage, your interests are aligned, right? It's not that you're just sending it to some random person. It's a brokerage who also has the same compliance obligations as you. And you're on that same level of how you want this to be accomplished. So that's why these deal desks really work because those incentives are aligned. Do you see one more than the other happening? I think historically for me, I've seen, hey, my buddy's taking over, but I think these deal desks are starting to take off a bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we're hearing about it a lot more and we've been hearing about it both ways, just agents telling us and also brokerages saying, hey, can your tool help us do this deal desk? And I mean, in short, I think it has other benefits, which we talked about. And so that's why it's getting some steam, but it's a great way to do it. And you're probably going to give your buddy a cut anyways.
Oh, yeah. If you co-broker it, of course. Right. Yeah.
And I don't know this for sure, but I mean, usually the buddy obviously is incentivized financially, but these deal desks have like salaried staff or whatever in there. They know they can get it done. So I would personally, I kind of lean more towards that if I was a broker, I think. Just sending it there for the couple weeks or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of tough, I would say, because, you know, I think a lot of people actually, yeah, like I said, historically have done, my buddy will take care of it. I think there's a couple pitfalls with that, and we're getting a little out of the realm of tech, but just to kind of get there for a sec, you know, number one is it's not like a system. So maybe it is like tech, right? You can build a system and the tech system can interact with that deal desk and that becomes a repeatable process, right? And I think that's something,
right.
You know, we've talked to guests and a lot of our top brokers, that is a key to scaling any type of business is having a process. If your process systems are set up, whenever you go on vacation, oh, just Sally will take care of it. That's not much of a system. What if Sally's gone or what if Sally changes industries or whatever might happen with Sally, then you're kind of out of luck. But if you have a system and a way of doing it consistently, that allows you to scale. And I would say the other big thing too of it is then you can be critical, right? If Sally does a bad job, you don't want to give her a hard time. She's your friend who did a favor, whatever. But if it's a commercial arrangement that you have with these deal desks, you can be a lot more transparent and have those really much more honest conversations. So there is a lot of those types of benefits of being with a standardized commercial agreement that has clear terms going forward. Right? And I think that, yeah, overlaps tech, but also just relationships in general for you as a broker.
Yeah, totally agree. A lot of these are honestly quick wins.
Let's talk about them quick, right? So what's the quickest win? We talked about four things. Let's rattle it off and see how quickly could you do it. So we'll talk about it and give me a time frame. So doing a Google form for someone to fill out with an autoresponder email. I think Google Forms is free, right?
Yeah, it's quite quick. A couple hours of your time. You only have to do it once and then you're good, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's call it 4 hours, half a day there.
Yeah.
Automated doc collection.
Half day.
That's maybe another couple hours here. Then. Yeah. I mean, it depends what you're using, I think, right? If you're using something like Finmo or Velocity or Scarlett, even Boss,
yeah.
A lot of them already have it. I think it's just turning on the feature, right?
Yeah.
Getting used to it and building the trust, obviously that's important, but that's pretty quick. So I'm going to call that another half day maybe there. And
yep.
So we're out of day right now. Shared inbox. Let's do the quickest possible version, which is literally just sharing your
password
login with your friends or whoever,
that's real
your
quick.
Assistant. So that's like 2 minutes. So we're still at like a day. And then signing up for the deal desk. Let's go with that. And again, for a lot of these people, it's pretty straightforward. You do probably have to get an agreement. There's probably a standard agreement. Review it. Make sure that's good for you. So probably another couple hours there. So the day and a half, you can implement four things, and it's just going to make that time off that you're planning that much better, right? And it's building these systems in place that serve you now
totally.
And into the future.
Yeah, and the first two, like you build them once, like the form, you build once, the doc collection, you buy Finmo or Velocity or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the deal desk is probably forever too. So yeah, these are like scalable things. Yeah, so yeah.
So yeah, it's a day and a half for that first vacation, but vacation number two, it's already there.
Yeah.
And three and four, and you'd be surprised. Maybe you end up going on vacation a bit more because you say, okay, well, that wasn't so bad, right? I wasn't chained to my desk, which would be interesting. So, well, I think that's as good a place as any. I guess any final thoughts on that, Mass? Well, you're about to go on vacation. Anything that we miss that you're going to be doing over the next, well, you're not actually not vacation, jaw surgery.
I guess, yeah, time off. But yeah, I would say we're personally utilizing all of this except for the doc collection because that's not really our business. We have a shared inbox. Yep. We have the most hardcore model that we were mentioning. Trusted colleague, that's going to be you in my situation. Form for referrals, we have that. So yeah, I mean, the only thing I'm going to toy with is that Apple workflow thing. I want to try it because I have this bad habit, or maybe it's good. I don't know. Anyways, I text people a lot of our clients a lot, mm-hmm. and they're going to be texting me when I'm away and not know I'm away. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So I'm going to test that out.
You know, they have like pre-baked ones. Like there was the one where it's you're driving, right? Or someone texting, okay, boom, I'm driving.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you can customize it, which would be cool. So let's leave it there. Day and a half, get it in and, you know, take that time off that you deserve.
Yeah.
If anybody has any other tips that they really, really relish when they go on break, please feel free to leave some comments. Love to hear it. And as always, thanks so much for watching and listening. Bye for now.
See ya.